Have you had fun so far? Yes. We should do this every week. Oh, wait, hang on. We do. We do this every single week. I cannot believe this is the last night of excess for the year. My goodness. But guess what? We get to come back next year bigger and better. So I cannot wait for that. My name is Jo, and I have a confession to make. Are you listening? I have a confession to make. I love Christmas! Woo! Who's with me? Who loves Christmas? Yes! Yes! Who loves Christmas carols? What's your favourite Christmas carol? Yeah, I love all of them too. Yes. I want to ask you, do you come from a family that you completely deck your whole house up with every Christmas light imaginable? Put your hand up if you are one of those people. Who decks out their whole house and you have people driving past and staring in amazement? I am not one of those people. In fact, I have another confession. We have Christmas lights hanging up on our trees in front of our house. We have a string, and I love them so much that we keep them up all year. No kidding. I do not take them down. Who loves giving presents? Who loves receiving presents? How did I know you were going to say yes to that one? Well, tonight, I want to take you back to the very first Christmas. The very, very first Christmas. And it looked nothing like what we have today. We're going to have a look at two characters tonight from the Bible. And these two people we're going to meet, they were given a heaven-sent assignment to do. And they were given a gift, a really special gift from God that had their name on it. I'm going to read about that in a minute. But before we begin, I want to ask you another question. Have you ever felt that you were not good enough when you were asked to do something that you felt was absolutely impossible? Have you ever felt that you were not good enough? Someone asked you to do something that was completely out of your comfort zone and you thought, absolutely not, I cannot, no way, please don't ask me, please. And you avoid eye contact. Maybe you were asked to make a speech at the end of graduation this year, or you were asked to do a solo, or I don't know, something that was out of your comfort zone. And this wave of fear came over you and you felt overwhelmed. You had this knot in your stomach. Have you been there? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah? That fear? Okay. Well, the first person we're going to meet tonight is a young girl named Mary. And Mary experienced some of those feelings. She had fear and she felt overwhelmed. And we're going to meet her in a minute. And I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture tonight, because this is God's truth, and we believe in God's truth, God's word, and we pay attention to God's word, don't we? Okay, so you're going to pay attention tonight. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 33. I think it's going to be up on the screen. During the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God's presence to an unmarried girl named Mary, living in Nazareth, a village in Galilee. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, a true descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Grace to you, young woman, for the Lord is with you, and so you are anointed with great favor." Mary was deeply troubled over the words of the angel and bewildered over what this may mean for her. But the angel reassured her, saying, "Do not yield to your fear, Mary, for the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. You will become pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will enthrone him as king on his ancestor David's throne. He will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will know no limit. That's the first part of the story we're going to read. Have you ever thought, why Mary? Why did God choose Mary? Mary was a young girl. So why did God choose Mary to carry and give birth to his son, his holy son? God could have chosen literally anyone. He's God. He could have chosen anyone. He could have chosen a princess or a queen, someone that came from wealth, someone that was worthy of a magnificent title, someone that was a great leader amongst the people. But he chose Mary. Mary was unqualified for this job. She didn't have a high profile. She didn't come from wealth. She was unmarried. She was a young virgin. And so humanly, this was impossible for Mary to be pregnant. So what was Mary's response to what the angel was asking her to do? Verse 34. But how? How could this happen? I'm still a virgin. Meaning, hello, God, seriously, this is not possible. I don't know if you know how this works, but I cannot be pregnant. No, she didn't actually say that. But I'm sure she was thinking it. Did Mary have fear? Yeah, she had fear. The angel said, do not yield to your fear, Mary. Do not fear. And even in the impossible, she kind of thought, okay, well, oh my goodness, really, me? You're choosing me? How many of us have had those thoughts? How many of us, when we are asked to do something that we think is impossible, we think we don't have the skill set, we don't have the ability, we kind of go, I'm going to disqualify myself. How many of us have allowed that fear to actually stop us from stepping in to something really brand new? I know that I have many times. You kind of have this thing going around in your head going, please, not me. No, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for this yet. My time will come, but not yet. Please don't ask me. Well, I'm going to tell you a profound truth. This is what God loves to do. God loves to use the unlikely. He loves to use the unqualified, the ordinary, to create something extraordinary. He loves to use the unexpected to do great things, no matter what people's opinions are. Doesn't matter if you think you can do it or not, because God is God and he can do anything. Yes? Yes. And this is where the miracle happens. We're going to see a few miracles tonight in this story. The first miracle, God's divine power, his perfect plan, is seen and revealed and experienced through the unlikely, through the forgotten, through the unqualified young girl named Mary. And no one, not even Mary, was expecting this to happen. That's a miracle. There's a saying that I love, and you may have heard this before. It's said many times. God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies. He qualifies the called. Let me say it again. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Meaning, he doesn't wait for you to get all your stuff sorted and then he calls you. He doesn't wait for you to, have all your to-do lists crossed off and you've got all your qualifications and, you know, you've got this surge of energy and you just think, yep, now I'm ready. Now I'm ready, God. Now you can call me. He doesn't do that. God calls you in the midst of your mess. He calls you in the midst of your stuff when you're trying to figure it all out. He calls you and he qualifies you. He gives you what you need to do what he's asked you to do. So why did God find favor with little Mary? Why did he find favor? Verse 28 tells us, the angel Gabriel appeared to her and said, grace to you, young woman, for the Lord is with you, and so you are anointed with great favor. Mary had a relationship with God. God was with her. She knew him. She knew him. And because of this, when the angel came to visit her that night to tell her some life-altering, huge news that seemed impossible, because God was close to her, because she knew him, she knew that, you know what, if God's in this, then I don't know all the answers, but if he's in this and he says that it's okay, then I'm going to trust that it's okay. She had a relationship with him. Verse 37, I absolutely love this verse, and I think we need to claim this over our lives tonight. Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God. Hello, not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God. So God, when he says he'll do something, he'll do it. When he promises something, his promises never return void. Never. What God says he'll do, he'll do. So God found favor with Mary because she was close to him and she trusted him no matter what the cost would be. I love Mary's response. We're going to read it in verse 38. It's a beautiful heart response. This is amazing. I will be mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass. What a beautiful response. Imagine if we had that heart response to God. Whatever, whatever you have for me, God, I will accept. I will accept. And this is another miracle. This is where we see another miracle in Mary's response, because she actually realizes that it's not all about her. God was inviting her into the bigger picture, but it wasn't all about Mary. And she realized that. And she knew that God would give her what she needed to accomplish what he was asking her to do. The angel also promised that the Holy Spirit would be with her. Verse 35, we read, "The Spirit of holiness will fall upon you, and Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory." What a beautiful promise. I'm going to pause it here for a minute, because I actually believe that someone needs to receive this word tonight. I don't know who it is, but I really believe someone needs to hear this. If God is calling you and you know who you are, if he's calling you into something new, something unknown, something that is a bit out of your comfort zone, you need to know that God is with you. He is with you. His spirit is upon you. His power is over you. And just like he did with Mary and Joseph, he will give you the courage to step out in faith and do what he's called you to do. He will give you the words to speak. He will give you the wisdom to discern, is this right or is this not for me? And you just need to have faith and believe that God is God. He's in control and he's got you. That is for someone tonight. Back to the story. Okay, we've met one person, Mary. Who would our second character be? Can someone yell it out to me? You are on the ball tonight. Excellent. Joseph. So where is Joseph in all of this? I'm glad you asked. So we're going to read another passage of scripture. Remember, this is God's word, so we pay attention. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 24. This was how Jesus, God's anointed one, was born. His mother Mary had promised Joseph to be his wife, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Her fiancé Joseph was a righteous man full of integrity. He was a good man, and he didn't want to disgrace her. But when he learned of her pregnancy, he secretly planned to break the engagement. While he was still debating with himself about what to do, he fell asleep and had a supernatural dream. An angel from the Lord appeared to him in clear light and said, "Joseph, descendant of David, don't hesitate to take Mary into your home as your wife. because the power of the Holy Spirit has conceived a child in her womb. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Saviour, for he is destined to give his life to save his people from their sins. This happens so that what the Lord spoke through his prophet would come true. Listen, a virgin will be pregnant. She will give birth to a son, and he will be known as Emmanuel, which means in Hebrew, God became one of us. When Joseph awoke from his dream, he did all that the angel of the Lord instructed him to do. He took Mary to be his wife. Poor Joseph, I just have to say, poor Joseph, because he definitely was not expecting this to happen. He was a good man, he was an honourable man, and he was engaged to marry Mary, but the very thought of Mary out of wedlock, being pregnant, not with his child, but with God's holy son, this was not part of the plan. So upon learning all of this, Joseph planned to break up with Mary. That's very sad, naughty boy. But then he fell asleep, and the angel came to him and told him a little bit of the story. And you see, this is where we see another miracle, because Joseph could have responded and said, absolutely not, no way. I am not going to humiliate myself. This is not my plan, God. Please pick someone else. But he didn't. He didn't. We see another miracle in his response. He actually realized, it's not about me. God's inviting me into this story, but it's not all about me. And he trusted in God. He trusted that, you know what, if God's got this, if God says it's going to be okay, then it's going to be okay. Even in the midst of the unplanned, the unexpected, God is still in control. We need to be reminded of that all the time. Mary and Joseph didn't have all the details. They didn't have their five-year plan. They didn't know what was to come. They didn't know what was coming into their future. They couldn't see what was ahead, but all they knew was what the angel had told them, which was a tiny, tiny bit of the story. But that was enough to trust in God. That was enough to go, you know what, God? We trust you. We trust you. We trust you with our lives. Well, the story has not ended yet. It hasn't ended yet. You are part of this next part of the story. But you didn't realize that. You are actually in this. And I'm going to read it. I'm going to prove it to you. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 to 20. So Joseph and his fiancée Mary left Nazareth, a village in Galilee, and journeyed to their hometown in Judea, to the village of Bethlehem, King David's ancient home. They were required to register there since they were both direct descendants of David. Mary was pregnant and nearly ready to give birth. Can I just do a side note and say, Mary was massive. She had a huge fat stomach. She was very uncomfortable, swollen feet, insane cravings. She was on the back of a donkey traveling. I've had my rant. It's okay. But it's all true. When they arrived in Bethlehem, Mary went into labor, ouch, and there she gave birth to her firstborn son. After wrapping the newborn baby in strips of cloth, they laid him in a feeding trough, since there was no available space in any upper room in the village. That night in a field near Bethlehem, there were shepherds watching over their flocks. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with the blazing glory of God. And the shepherds were terrified. There's this fear again. But the angel reassured them, saying, "Don't be afraid, for I have come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard. And it is for everyone." Hello, that's you. Everywhere. "For today, in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you." Hello, there you are again. "He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by the miracle sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Then all at once, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of heaven. And they all praised God, singing, "Glory to God in the highest realms of heaven, for there is peace and a good hope given to the sons of men." When the choir of angels disappeared back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go, quick, hurry. Let's hurry and find this word that is born in Bethlehem and see for ourselves what the Lord has revealed to us." So they ran into the village and found their way to Mary and Joseph. And there was a baby lying in a feeding trough. Upon seeing this miraculous sign, the shepherds recounted what had just happened. Everyone who heard the shepherd's story was astonished by what they were told. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart and often pondered what they meant. The shepherds returned to their flock, ecstatic over what had just happened. They praised God and glorified him for all they had heard and seen for themselves, just like the angel had said. What an epic story that was. How amazing. Wow. So I'm just looking around and I don't know if you've noticed, there's a little gift under the tree here. Oh my goodness, you didn't see it? Wow. Okay. This little gift under the tree. You know what? Jesus came to this earth. Jesus came to this earth to give us the gift of himself. Yeah, he did. And this gift here, this gift has your name on it. Has your name on it. You know how I know it has your name on it? Because we just read about it. The angel told the shepherds, "I bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard. It is for everyone everywhere. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you." For you. And you know, we all celebrate Christmas. Christmas is my most favourite time of the year. And I love all of our traditions. I love what we do as different families and we catch up with friends and it's a wonderful time. But a lot of times we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Jesus' birthday without actually unwrapping the gift that God is giving us. We actually don't think to unwrap the gift of his son Jesus. We celebrate really well. We love a celebration. But some of us, we actually look at the gift. It's nicely wrapped, nice bow. But I think I might just put it back under the tree this year. You know, I'm not quite ready to open it yet. I'm not quite ready because, you know, I've got to get all my stuff sorted first. I'm not ready. I might be ready next year. Maybe next year I'll come under the tree and I might just, you know, start to unwrap a little bit by little bit and maybe then I'm ready to receive. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, Excess. This Christmas, I want to encourage you to unwrap the free gift, the gift that God is giving you. I want to encourage you to say yes to Jesus, this gift that God is giving you, a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And you know, Jesus was born a baby, but he traveled this earth, he walked this earth for years, for several years, and then he traveled up a hill and he hung on a cross. He died and he rose 3 days later. And he didn't do that just for the faithful few. He didn't do that just for those that have it all together, the popular, the smart. He did it for everyone, everywhere. That includes you. So can I invite Erin and, the team, if you want to just... I'm going to actually ask you guys to stand up with me. Can I ask you to stand up? Don't need to talk. No talking. Just stand up, just in the quietness of where you are standing. Just in the quietness of where you are standing. I want to give you an opportunity tonight. I want to give you an opportunity to unwrap the gift. Let this Christmas be the most significant Christmas you have ever experienced, because this is the Christmas where you say yes to Jesus. Why don't you just all close your eyes for a minute? No one's looking around. No one's paying attention to anybody else. If you feel that you have not quite unwrapped that gift, if you feel in your heart, your heart's beating, and you know what that feels like when your heart's beating and you know God's just nudging you and he's telling you something, and you know you haven't quite unwrapped the gift, that relationship, and said yes to Jesus tonight, it would be my delight, it would be my absolute pleasure to lead you in a prayer tonight to say, Jesus, I love you, I need you, and I want to invite you into my life. If that is you, if you've not quite unwrapped that gift and you are ready to receive Jesus tonight, I encourage you, why don't you just pop your hand up? It is not frightening. It is something that we encourage you to do, because as a church, as a community here at Exodus, we all just want to pray together with you. So why don't you lift your hand up really high and say yes to Jesus tonight. Receive this free gift of salvation God is giving you tonight. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be popular. You don't have to have it all together, because Jesus died for every single one of us. Okay. I see lots of hands. Okay. Now I'm going to say, if you have accepted Jesus and you have a relationship, but you have travelled down the road a bit further on and you've left him behind, and you know what that feels like when you're trying to do things on your own. You've left him behind. But tonight is the night you want to say, you know, Jesus, I am sick of doing this on my own and I need you back in my life. I need you. I need your saving grace in me again. Then why don't you lift up your hand? Just raise it really high, because we're going to pray together. And let this be the Christmas that is the most significant Christmas you will ever experience, because this is the time where we say, Jesus, it is all about you. It's not about me anymore. It's all about you. And I give you my life. And I make this declaration and this stand together with my friends here at Exodus. This is where it counts. Okay. We're going to pray this prayer together. You can put down your hands now. There have been so many hands raised tonight, and that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. We're going to pray this prayer together, and I invite everyone to pray it out loud. I'm going to say it first, line by line, and then you say it out loud. And this is the time where you go, Jesus, I need you. This is where it matters. This is where it matters. So, Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I open the door of my life and receive you as my Savior. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Make me the person you want me to be. Because tonight I say yes to you, Jesus. In your name I pray, amen. Hallelujah, this is amazing. You have made the best decision. You have unwrapped the most beautiful gift you will ever receive. So why don't we say a big thank you to God. And I just want to say, say this, that if you said yes to Jesus for the very first time, Matt and I would love to give you a free, beautiful Bible. We'd love to gift you with that so that you can get to know more about Jesus and about what you said yes to tonight, that relationship, that personal relationship with him. So after the service, I would invite you to come down and just have a chat with us, and I'd love to give you this gift, this free Bible. So the team is going to lead us in some worship now. Thank you, guys. God loves you. We love you. And